Our scripture reading this morning, if you want to follow along, will be from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding.
Stop and think about it for a moment. If you're a Christian, what do you need the most? Now that you're a Christian, what do you need the most? I think a number of answers might be given to that question. It's obvious that when a person is outside of Jesus, what they need the most is the salvation that God gives through Jesus. That the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, Luke chapter 5, verses 30 through 34. But what does a person need the most who is in Christ? Knowing his salvation, knowing something of God's grace and mercy and peace, what does a person need the most who's in Christ? It would be difficult to find a better answer than wisdom. Wisdom. Maybe you found yourself often saying something like this: Lord, give me the wisdom to know what to do and how to go about it. Wisdom. Maybe more than anything else, that's what a Christian needs the most. Because life can be hard, can't it? There's so many decisions that have to be made, so many choices every day. The wisdom that reflects a love for God in every choice, in every decision, in every word, in every thought. Wisdom. Look in your Bibles at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, and this was Paul's prayer, at least part of it, for the church at Colossae. He prayed for them. In Colossians 1, verse 9, that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will. That they might be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in wisdom and in all spiritual understanding, the text says. The Bible talks about a wisdom that's from above. In James chapter 3, verses 13 and 17. And what Paul prayed for at Colossae in that church, and what James is talking about a wisdom that's from above, is something that is available to us as the people of God. I read a story not too long ago about an older Christian lady who was diagnosed with leukemia. And friends and family, Christians from many places, came to be by her side toward the end. And everyone that left was impressed by how much of God's Word she had put in her heart, in her mind. As a matter of fact, she died in the middle of sharing a verse from heart. You know, I talked about Jacob a few weeks ago and how Jacob dies in Genesis chapter 50. And in many ways, it would be harder to draw up a better death than that of Jacob. His family's all around him. He's got all kinds of things that he said. He's been able to bless his family. He's able to lift his feet up into his own bed, and it just seems like he finally breathes his last. It seems like a great death, doesn't it? But wouldn't it be wonderful to depart from this life, to take your last breath with what was given by the Holy Spirit Himself? Scripture. Wisdom. Wisdom. A number of years ago, I made it a point to read through the book of Proverbs each month. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and you can read one chapter a day most months, and you can read through the book of Proverbs in its entirety. And I think about what Proverbs has to say about wisdom. And let me invite your attention to three passages as we introduce the study of understanding wisdom. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Yes, Proverbs is a book that lifts up godly wisdom, wisdom that will reflect love for God in our attitudes and actions, in our words and our thoughts. You look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, and the text says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. It goes on to say that it will be greater gain than silver. It will be of greater profit to you than anything. Whatever you get insight. Prize her highly. Now look at Proverbs 3 and verse 13. And this was the passage just read in our scripture reading. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. This is the blessed person. Third passage, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11. Proverbs 8 and verse 11. Wisdom is described as being better in this passage than rubies. It says, all that one may desire cannot compare with her. Therefore, true wisdom from God that results in a greater love for God in my attitude and actions, in my words and in my thoughts, is unquestionably the most desirable thing, according to a very wise man, that any of us could have as the people of God. Acquiring wisdom is not so much about doing, although that's important, as being. Acquiring wisdom is not so much about doing as it is about being. It's not so much about our actions, as important as those are, as it is our attitude. To acquire wisdom is about an attitude. It is about a state of being that leads to these actions out of love. Let me deal with four absolutely necessary qualities for acquiring wisdom. Four absolutely necessary qualities for acquiring wisdom. I don't think we pray enough about this. I don't think public prayers mention it enough. I don't know if family prayers do. I know my own private prayers do not. If this is the most important thing that can be acquired, godly wisdom, shouldn't we emphasize it more as His people? Four absolutely necessary qualities for acquiring wisdom. Number one, a humble spirit. A humble spirit. It's been mentioned a number of times in prayer, even in the Lord's Supper meditation, as well as the call to worship by Carl a few moments ago, that God wants to have a relationship with us. The God of all heaven and earth wants to have a relationship with us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with you. There is something marvelous and incredibly humbling about that idea, about that thought. And if you want to acquire more wisdom, a humble spirit is absolutely needed. Look in your Bible at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I want you to think about that expression, fear of the Lord. There is a link between the fear of the Lord and the acquisition of godly wisdom that will bless our lives and is one of the most needed things in all of life itself for the people of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now turn, if you will, to Job chapter 28 and verse 28. And hear the words of a wise man named Job, who went through a great deal in his own life. And were he not seeking the wisdom of God, would have really struggled even more. Job says in Job 28:28, "Behold the fear of the Lord." There it is again. This is wisdom. Now, the expression fear of the Lord needs to be explored a little bit. The fear of the Lord has to do with the awe, A-W-E, with the awe, the reverence, the respect, the love and the confidence and the joy that we have in God. It has to do with awe and reverence and respect. It has to do with confidence and love and joy that we have in God. Triple A, awe, admiration, adoration. Awe concerning God's infinite worth and greatness. That's who wants to have a relationship with us, y'all. Awe concerning His infinite greatness and worth. Admiration for all of His attributes, His love and His mercy and His grace, His holiness and His knowledge and His power. Admiration. And then adoration that He loves us so very much that the God of all heaven and earth loves us. There's something very humbling in considering how great He is and that He wants to have a relationship with us. who is sufficient for these things? 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. How we need to keep in mind that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We ought to be clothed in humility. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He'll exalt you in due season. James 4, verse 10. The more one truly knows about God and God's will, the more one truly knows about God and His will, the more one realizes how much one doesn't know about life. There is something marvelously humbling about considering God. And this can lead to genuine wisdom. Essential quality number two. A hungry soul. A humble spirit. You know, some people are very educated. Some people are very smart. Some people might have an IQ that's off the chart. But if one doesn't have a humble spirit, one lacks the wisdom that binds us to God Himself. What's needed, secondly, is a hungry soul. Wisdom must be sought to be found. It must be diligently searched for. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. We cry out for it. We search for it as for a hidden treasure, as for something that is immensely precious and valuable. Wisdom doesn't come to us in a box with the bow placed outside our front door. It's got to be sought. It's got to be looked for. As a Christian for well over 50 years, and as a preacher, sometimes I ask myself, where's the hunger factor? Where's the hunger factor? In the church? Among Christians? Where's my hunger factor? A hungry soul. When I think about really wonderful characters in the Word of God, they had this hunger for God and for His Word and for His wisdom that just encompassed them. It surrounded them. And I realize that it's hard to have that spirit all of the time, but every Christian should desire that spirit more of the time. We really should. The fact is, God waits a long time for some of us to get our act together and to seek His wisdom, doesn't He? I'm glad that He's long-suffering. But the real tragedy is that in far too many lives, He waits in vain because people pursue other interests. A hungry soul. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians 3, verse 10. Here's a person who wrote approximately a third of the New Testament and who was known as the Apostle to the Gentiles, Acts 9, verses 15 and 16. He was privy to heavenly sights that no man had seen prior to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And yet here in Philippians 3 and verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and to be made conformable to his death. I want to look to Jesus. I want to look at the Savior for the wisdom and the strength that I need from day to day in every choice, in every decision, in every word that I speak, in every thought that I think, in every action I do. I want to look to Jesus. Turn in your Bibles briefly to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, it has the distinction of being the longest chapter in all the Bible, 176 verses. I'm only going to mention six of them. But I'd like for you to follow along. In this chapter, Psalm 119, that so emphasizes God and His Word. God and His Word. People who want wisdom, look to God and His Word. But one of the things that's really emphasized, that's really stressed, is a hungry soul. A soul that just desires this. Somebody described Thanksgiving as something like this. 11 hours of cleaning house, 7 hours of cooking, 9 minutes of eating, 4 hours of cleanup. Several heads are nodding in the affirmative. I wonder if that's how we sometimes regard God's wisdom. There's all these things to do in preparing and thinking and all of that, cleaning the house. But 7 minutes of actually taking God in. Look at Psalm 119, verse 2, the first of 6 passages. And what we're going to do is emphasize an expression, because it's found 6 times in this psalm, and I'm going to give you all 6. With all my heart, or with my whole heart. With all my heart, or with my whole heart. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. You want to be a wise guy? You want to be a wise woman? Seek his testimonies. Seek his will. Seek him with your whole heart. Look at verse 10, same chapter again, Psalm 119. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. You want to not wander away from him? Wholehearted commitment. That will help you from wandering away. Look at verse 34. Psalm 119, verse 34. Give me understanding. Give me wisdom, we might say, that I might keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Hungry souls. I believe that the world is starving for a knowledge of God, and most people would not even think of giving that as the diagnosis of their troubled lives. I believe that many of us in the church are starving for the wisdom of God, and that's probably not the first thing that we would mention. But it's true. Look at verse 58. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I want your favor. I want you to smile. I want your eyes to twinkle when you think of me. I want you to rejoice because I want your favor more than anything. Verse 69, same chapter, one more after this. When you go through struggles, think about this. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. It's hard to live right when you are done wrong. It's hard to live right and speak right when others are not living and speaking right to others about you. The psalmist is talking about a wisdom from above. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 145. 145. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. With my whole heart I seek you. With my whole heart I want to keep seeking you, lest I wander away. And when I'm in difficult places and don't know where to turn, I seek you with my whole heart. I want to do your will, to love, to think, to speak, and to act in a way that honors you. That is a prerequisite for acquiring godly wisdom. Number three. Number three, a hearing heart. A hearing heart. Outside of the Lord, what character is known for being a person of great wisdom? I suspect most of you would say Solomon, wouldn't you? There are plenty of others, but Solomon especially. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verses 9 through 11, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. What Solomon asked for when God said, "Listen, Solomon, because of your humble spirit and because of your hungry soul, I'm going to ask you, what would you like? What gift can I give you? Because you're going to be serving as a king." And 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 has him asking for wisdom and understanding, but one version puts it this way. Listen, give me a hearing heart, a humble spirit, a hungry soul, a hearing heart. Help me to be able to listen. Help me not to be distracted. Help me not to be pulled in so many directions. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning." Jesus had a lot to say about hearing and listening, didn't he? Be careful how you hear, Luke 8, 18. He that has ears to hear, let him hear, he says seven times in the letters to the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Proverbs 19, verse 20 says, "Listen to wise counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days." You want to be wise whenever you're older and looked at as a person of some wisdom? Listen to wisdom and instruction from wise people while you're younger. Again, Proverbs 20, verse 12. The hearing hear, and the seeing eye, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, these come from God. If I really want to be able to see, and if I really want to be able to hear and listen in terms of wisdom, I need to understand that this comes from God. And there's a willingness to hear, a willingness to listen. Lastly, number four, a humble spirit, first of all. If you want to acquire godly wisdom, that's so important. It's absolutely necessary. A hungry soul. What are you really hungry for? Is it possible that many of us as Christians have a hunger for other things that really rival our hunger for God? Third, this idea of a hearing heart, that we listen to Him. Number four, you want to acquire godly wisdom, a heeding mind. Heeding, H-E-E-D-I-N-G. The idea is a mind that's willing to obey. A mind that's willing to obey. Now stop with me and let's think about this. A humble spirit says, God, I love you and I need you. That's really important, isn't it? A humble spirit says, I love you and I need you. A hungry soul says, I desire you and I want you, God. I desire you more, I want you more than anything, than anyone. Third, that we looked at, the hearing heart. I will listen and learn from you. I will listen and learn from you, God. And now this heeding mind. I will obey you and do what you desire, God. When Jesus concluded the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about the wise and foolish builders. Remember that? Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And this tremendous sermon from Jesus' own lips stresses wisdom, how we respond to God and His revelation of Himself in Jesus, how we respond to God and His revelation of His will through Scripture. It matters. How to be a wise guy, how to be a wise woman who hears these sayings of mine and does them. Does them. I think that we have set the course in the terms of our main points this morning appropriately. A humble spirit, a hungry soul. This idea that we were talking about of a hearing heart, but a heeding will or a heeding mind. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, James 1 and verse 22. Jesus has become the author of eternal salvation to all that obey Him, Hebrews 5 verses 8 and 9. In conclusion, I believe that we can all put the main points, all four of these, together this morning and pray them to God in the desire to acquire godly wisdom. God, please give me from your wisdom a more humble spirit, a more hungry soul, a more hearing heart, a more heeding mind to you and what you desire. And here's something that's pretty cool to think about. There's never been anybody in all the world that did that more than Jesus. A humble spirit. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Taking the form of a servant, he humbles himself. I am humble and lowly in heart, he says. You can find rest to your souls in me. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Think of the idea of a hungry soul. He is in the wilderness and he says to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The one who says this is the bread of life, John 6, 35 through 51. Think about this one. Jesus is the hearing heart. Whatever his Father wanted, that's what Jesus wanted. The hearing heart. You talk about a good and honest heart. Whatever God wanted his Father, that's what he wanted. How much better off we would all be if we felt the same. Finally, a heeding mind. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. He was the one who would say in the garden, your will be done. Matthew 26, verses 39 through 42. There's no wisdom, no real wisdom apart from Jesus. And it's just another trail that he has blazed for us and made possible by his grace and mercy and goodness. What a great God we have. I hope that you'll seek wisdom and that these four essential characteristics will be things that you desire so that the wisdom of God can be seen more in your heart and soul and spirit and mind. Thank you for listening. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement. You know what? If a person needs to respond today, part of the problem is going to be if one doesn't. The humble spirit. The hungry soul. The hearing heart. The heeding mind. Don't let any of these things keep you from drawing closer to Jesus. I'm going to tell you, if you do, it's foolishness, not wise. Let us stand and sing.